Oh, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. Numbers 21, beginning at verse 9. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed. Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. As we journey with the Lord, as we journey, we must be careful that our souls do not become discouraged. We must guard against discouragement, and we must fight against discouragement. Souls that had become crestfallen, short, impatient, vexed, grieved. The King James Version, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Discouraged on the way. Discouraged because of the way. The Voice Bible reads, "The difficult travel gave everyone a short temper." Wycliffe Bible, "In the way and all the tribulation began to vex the people." The Amplified Bible, "The people became impatient because of the challenges of the journey." In the Amplified Classic, "The people became impatient, depressed, much discouraged because of the trials of the way." You know, the people grew weary of this laborious march. And yet it was a march, for their Lord was leading them, their King. Reading from the Message paraphrase, "The people became irritable and cross as they traveled. They spoke out against God and Moses. Why did you drag us out of Egypt to die in this God-forsaken country? No decent food, no water. We can't stomach this stuff any longer." You know, the Lord was so faithful. The Lord was so loyal, so true. He had never failed them. He had never let them down. His leading was perfect. His leading was right and necessary. His leading was purposeful and divine. He hadn't led them out to have them die. He He led them out to give them life. Now we know that there were challenges along the way. There were obstacles and giants and walls and tests and trials. You know, here they are journeying in the Lord, journeying with the Lord according to the leading of the Lord. And the Bible says that the soul of the people became very discouraged. Not the soul of a person, not the soul of a few persons, the soul of the people. You know, we have to combat discouragement, for discouragement can spread like wildfire, like an epidemic, like the plague. It shows in the way we carry ourselves. It shows in the way we lumber along. It shows in our countenance, and it ends up showing up in the mouth. Verses 4 and 5, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. The Wycliffe Bible, the people spake against the Lord and Moses and said, why lettest thou us out of Egypt that we should die in the wilderness? Bread faileth, waters be not. Our soul loatheth now this meat most light. And the people spoke against the Lord and Moses and said, why lettest thou us out of Egypt so that we would die here in this wilderness? Bread faileth us, waters be not, and our souls now loathe this most light food. Yeah, this manna. You know, it's hard to believe reading it from this side. And yet, this isn't a foreign reality. Many become discouraged on the way. Many become discouraged because of the way, and unthinkable words begin to flow from the lips of the discouraged. Why have you let us out? Why have you brought us out of Egypt? There's no bread and water out here. This food you're feeding us with, our souls loathe this manna. Discouragement had split the righteous tongue of the people, and they had taken on snake talk, snake confession, to the point that they actually spoke not only against Moses, but against God. Verses 5 and 6, the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes, literally detests, this worthless bread. You know, what a thing to call the Lord's provision. Worthless bread? So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Church, the Lord can handle our discouragement if we will go to Him to help us. He will help us overcome it, and He will give us the strength and the zeal to carry on. But if in our coming to Him, we come speaking against Him, The Living Bible, the people were very discouraged. They began to murmur against God and to complain against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die here in the wilderness? They whined. There's nothing to eat here, nothing to drink, and we hate this insipid manna. So the Lord sent poisonous snakes among them to punish them. And many of them were bitten and died. This widespread discouragement that resulted in such unholy action had to be dealt with. And so it was. The people came to Moses. Verses 7 to 9, therefore the people came and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. A bronze serpent, a brazen serpent on a pole, a foreshadow of Jesus. Listen to John 3, verses 13 to 15. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Lord gave the people an answer. They couldn't handle the serpents. There was no cure among them, no anti-venom. They needed the Lord. Moses takes to praying. Wow, a man they spoke against. A man spoken against, praying to a God spoken against. Praying for murmurers and complainers. Praying for the judged. The Lord is so merciful. He said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live. The answer of the Lord. The remedy. So Moses made a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. There was an image of healing in the camp. The provision of healing. The cure they needed. The anti-venom they needed. Would the people humble themselves and look at the bronze serpent? Would they respond in faith? Would they receive the remedy of the Lord? And it must be asked today, will people humble themselves and look to Jesus? Look at him. Behold him. The judgment against the people was just, right, and holy, and yet the Lord gives remedy, mercy, grace. I share these words. It may be there were some who were so busy looking at their sores that they did not think of looking at the serpent. Poor creatures, they lay in their misery and kept looking first at the wound on the foot, and then at the one on the hand, and crying over their sores, and never looked at the serpent. Scores and hundreds perish in that way. Oh, says the sinner, I have been so sinful. Man, what has that to do with it? Christ is all meritorious. Look at him. No, no, says another. I cannot look at Christ. Oh, sir, you do not know what crimes I have committed. I have been a drunkard. I have been a swearer. I have been a whoremonger and whatnot. How can I be saved? My dear man, your wounds have nothing to do with it. It is just Christ on the cross. If any poor creature bitten by the serpent had said to me, now it is no good my looking there. See how often I have been bitten. There is a huge serpent twisting round my loins. There is another devouring my hand. How can I live? I should say to him, my dear fellow, do not take any notice whether you have got one serpent or 50 serpents, one bite or 50 bites. All you have to do is to look. You have nothing to do with these bites except that you have to feel them and perish by them unless you look, but look straight to Christ. And now, thou chief of sinners, believe in the Lord Jesus, and be thy sins never so many. He is able to save unto the uttermost them that come unto God by him. And yet how many perish through those diverse delusions with the gospel before their very eyes, lifted up on a pole so plainly that we wonder they do not see it. And now I must tell you one or two sweet things for the encouragement of the poor sinner. Oh, you that are guilty this morning and know that you are so, let me say to you, look to Christ. For remember, the brazen serpent was lifted up so that everyone in the camp who was bitten might live. And now Christ is lifted up to you, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Numbers 21, verse 10. Now the children of Israel moved on. Whatever happened to the bronze serpent? Whatever happened to the brazen serpent on a pole? Left behind? Forgotten? Discarded of? Lost? Whatever happened to it? Well, to find out, we must turn to 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings 18, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Avi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth. The bronze serpent, the brazen serpent, left behind, discarded, lost, forgotten. The people were burning incense to it. The people had given it a name. The Lord never said, worship the brazen serpent. The message is a final stroke. He pulverized the ancient bronze serpent that Moses had made. At that time, the Israelites had taken up the practice of sacrificing to it. They had even dignified it with a name, Nehushtan, the old serpent. Look at what had happened. The very thing used to deliver healing, administer mercy, had become an object of worship, an idol. Oh, we must be careful that the things God uses in miraculous ways don't turn into objects of worship. The Voice Bible, he tore down all the wicked high places and demolished all the holy pillars. And the sacred pole, he shattered the bronze serpent that Moses had crafted because the Israelites burned incense to honor it. The bronze serpent was named the bronze thing. The worship belongs to the Lord. The sacrifices belong to the Lord. The incense belongs to the Lord. The honor belongs to the Lord. Not some object, some artifact, some idol. You know, thank God there was a Hezekiah in the land, strengthened of Yah. One that would break in pieces the brazen serpent. One that would pulverize the bronze serpent. One that would shatter the bronze serpent. The image was just an avenue for the ministry of healing. The power was not the image. The authority and the healing was not the image, the bronze thing. But here they are worshiping it, sacrificing to it, burning special perfume, honoring a brazen image. F.F. Bosworth, everyone that looked at the brazen serpent, a type of Christ, lived. And their faces were not ashamed, says the psalmist. They were all, humanly speaking, incurable. But they were both forgiven and healed by looking. You know how tragic it is that the very things God uses as avenues of mercy and healing become idols among the people of God. May God raise up saints like Hezekiah, leaders like Hezekiah, rulers like Hezekiah, those that do that which is right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David did, those that remove the high places and break the images, and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpents. Those that trust in the Lord. Those that are jealous and zealous for His glory and honor. Those that cleave to the Lord and depart not from following Him but keep His commandments. The Lord will be with these and they will prosper whithersoever they go forth. At the time of 2 Kings, was there still healing power as one looked upon the brazen serpent? Was there or wasn't there? You know, regardless of the answer, the problem was that this brazen serpent had become an object of worship, worshiping the created rather than the Creator. Even if God was still using this image, this emblem, it was not to be worshipped and sacrificed to. He never told the people to worship it and sacrifice to it. He just told the people to look at it. Here too we see, do not go beyond the word of the Lord. The people were now practicing idolatry. Maybe they thought they were doing all right. The CEV, he destroyed the local shrines, then tore down the images of foreign gods and cut down the sacred pole for worshiping the goddess Ashtoreth. He also smashed the bronze snake Moses had made. The people had named it Nehushtan and had been offering sacrifices to it. Good News Translation, he destroyed the pagan places of worship, broke the stone pillars, and cut down the images of the goddess Asherah. He also broke in pieces the bronze snake that Moses had made, which was called Nehushtan. Up to that time, the people of Israel had burned incense in its honor. Is it possible that this happens in our time? It is. The brazen serpent wasn't a pagan image. They had become worshipers of a Christian image. The brazen serpent was destroyed, broken in pieces. But there have been things since that God has used as avenues of mercy, ministry, and so on that mankind has turned into objects of worship, objects of idolatry. The brazen serpent was created for temporal purpose, and it served to illustrate the nature of saving faith. If the people would humble themselves and look on the serpent, trusting in the Lord's ordained and prescribed remedy, they would be healed. Thank God for his mercy and grace in the camp. For those that had become discouraged. For those that had murmured and complained and spoken against God. Brazen serpent on a pole. These words, though this serpent was made by Moses at God's command and was of singular use to the Israelites and a special type of Christ, yet the primary use of it having long since ceased and being now abused to the purposes of superstition and idolatry, it was deservedly broken to pieces. And from this example, we may infer that all things which are made the occasions of superstition and idolatry ought to be taken away. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it. This cannot be intended to signify that all along from the days of Moses, this brazen serpent was used as an object of religious worship. For certainly neither David nor Solomon in the former part of his reign would have suffered such a thing. Nor can we suppose but that Asa and Jehoshaphat, when they rooted out idolatry, would also have extirpated this if they had perceived any species of it in their days. The commencement of this superstition, therefore, must have been at a later date, and probably since the time of Ahab's family, being allied to the royal family in Judah by marriage, introduced all kinds of idolatry. This brazen serpent had been kept from the days of Moses merely in memory of a miracle wrought by Jehovah, just as the pot of manna and Aaron's rod that budded also were. The Lord's remedy . We know that the Lord wants a people of faith, a people that trust him, that trust in his ways, that trust in his remedy for their situation, their circumstance, their trial, their ailment, their sickness, their disease, their life, their soul, whatever it might be. We know that the Lord wants a people that rest in him and in his ways, in his leading, and that they would be free of complaint against him. The Lord's ultimate remedy is Jesus. Back to John chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And we know verse 16. Snake-bitten humanity. And should there be a snake-bitten son or daughter, even if the bite is resultant of judgment against, because of speech against, God's remedy is Jesus. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus and be healed. Look to Jesus and live. These words, the remedy of the bitten Israelites was a brazen serpent, and the remedy for sinners is Christ crucified. Stuff, nonsense, said some of the children of Israel, when they heard that a brazen serpent lifted up on a pole was to be the means of their cure. Many of them laughed. In the gelidity of unbelief, absurd, ridiculous, who ever heard of such a thing? How can it be? A serpent of brass lifted up on a pole to cure us of these wounds by being looked upon? Why, all the skill of the physicians cannot do it. Will a glance at a brazen serpent do it? It is impossible. This much I know. If they did not despise the brazen serpent, there be many that despise Christ crucified. Shall I tell you what they say of him? They say of him as they did of the brazen serpent. Some wise one said, why, it was a serpent that did the mischief. How can a serpent undo it? Yes, and men will say it was by man that sin and death came into the world. And can a man be the means of our salvation? Ah, says another, having the prejudice of a Jew about him. And what a man he was, no king, no prince, no mighty conqueror. He was but a poor peasant, and he died upon a cross. Ah, so said some in the camp. They said it was only a brazen serpent, not a golden one. And how could a brazen serpent be of any use to them? It would not sell for much if it were broken up. What was the use of it? And so men say of Christ. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And they hid their faces from him because they cannot see how he is adapted for their cure. Oh, he is adapted for their cure. And he is their cure. And he is our cure. Jesus Christ, the remedy of God. Indeed, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man was lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Look, behold, we can have the worship team return today. One might despise this brazen serpent. One might reject it, and yet there is no other means of cure. We are born into sin. We cannot save ourselves. We are born of a sinful generation. We need the remedy of God, for we are as those bit by fiery serpents. Yes, behold the people after they were bitten. Can you picture their writhings and contortions when the poison of the serpent had infected their veins? We are told by the old writers that these serpents, when they bit, caused vehement heat, so that there was a pain throughout the body, as if a hot iron had been sent along the veins. Those who had been bitten had a great thirst. They drank incessantly and still cried for water to quench the burnings within. It was a hot fire which was lit in the fountain and which ran through every nerve and every sinew of the man. They were racked with pain and died in most fearful convulsions. Now, my brethren, we cannot say that sin instantly produces such an effect as this upon the men who are the subjects of it, but we do affirm that let sin alone, and it will develop itself in miseries far more extreme than ever the bite of a serpent could cause. If we're here today, and we are those caught up in idol worship, you say that doesn't happen today. Oh, it does. Caught up in the sacrificing and the burning of perfume and fragrance to an image, even if it be an image temporarily used of God. If that's who we are today, we bear serpent bite marks. And our only cure is faith in one image, and that is the image of Jesus Christ. If we will look to Him today, we will be healed of this poison that leads to death. We remember the cross, but we don't worship it. We don't sacrifice to a cross or burn incense to a crucifix. We worship Jesus. There's only one brazen serpent to be looked on and worshiped now, and that is the New Testament brazen serpent, Jesus. If we are here today and we are discouraged on the way, we are discouraged because of the way the Lord can handle our discouragement. And if we will go to Him to help us, He will help us overcome it. And He will give us the strength and zeal to carry on. Discouragement in the camp, let's deal with it before it deals with us. Discouragement, let's deal with it. Let's take it to the Lord today before we become those that murmur and complain against God and His leaders. Those that are trying to help us, before we start complaining against the God that has led us so faithfully. It's taken us out of Egypt. It's provided for us time and time and time and time again and showing us mercy and grace. Are you discouraged on the way? Are you discouraged because of the way? Because of the trials? The giants? The walls? Tribulation, what is it? Discouraged because of this laborious march to heaven. Take your discouragement to Him. Don't take your discouragement to someone else in the camp. You say, come on, we're supposed to bring these things to brothers and sisters. Listen, be careful. Be real careful. There are some people, they even act as serpents in the body of Christ. They walk around and they bite others, and pretty soon discouragement is the poison in the veins, and it spreads like wildfire, like an epidemic. You say, impossible. Listen, entire congregations have become discouraged. The soul of the people, not a person or just a handful of people, but the soul of the people as God led them to the promised land. But they were discouraged on the way because of the way. Oh, the lifted high Jesus, He is the remedy for all. What do you need a remedy for today? He's the remedy. Situation seems hopeless. Marriage on the rock. Ah, marriage on the rocks. Look to the rock. Doctor's diagnosis, addiction. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Worship Jesus, call on his name. Declare his name. Let incense rise. Let sacrifice be given. Look and live. Listen, if you're here in this place, you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Jesus was sent not to condemn you, but to save you. Through him be saved. Look on Jesus. Look to Jesus, the New Testament brazen serpent lifted on a pole, the remedy of God. The remedy hasn't changed. A new generation. The remedy hasn't changed. Should the Lord tarry and we pass from this life, the remedy will not change. The remedy is Jesus. Jesus. Let's stand in the house today. Lord, we need you.